Everyone happy with a little food now? Makes you feel better. Pastor Bernard likes the idea that you get papers if you're late. He's thinking about instituting that with his church back home on Sunday morning. Okay, let's keep going. Faith grows by meditating on the Word of God. Faith grows by meditating on the Word of God. The psalmist uses the metaphor of a tree to paint an attractive picture of the man who delights in meditating in God's Word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted firmly beside streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I'm quoting from a commentary by Albert Barnes on this passage, and he says, referring to this individual, he disciplines his mind to meditate habitually and intentionally. He does this at set times during the day and during the brief moments of leisure and downtime every day. So, what Barnes is saying is that meditation is not just a part of our daily devotional time, but it's with us all throughout the day. Now, in order to be able to do this, it presumes that you've actually memorized Scripture. I'm thankful that when I was a young believer, the discipleship process I went through, I was forced to memorize Scripture. And I have a very good memory, especially back then. It's faded a wee bit. Near photographic in my early 20s, if I read a verse one time, I had it memorized. So it was easy to memorize Scripture. That's all gone now, though. So I wistfully think back to those days when I try to remember, where did I put my car keys? Oh, gosh. So I'm looking for that glorified body. But I've memorized large quantities of Scripture. And that's made the difference. And I don't know if you have some kind of regular discipline at memorizing Scripture, but I think it's crucial to faith development and meditation. I still do it, even though it's much harder to memorize a passage now. But the last year, I memorized Philippians chapter 3, 1 through 12. And I've meditated on that passage probably most days the last year. I often, when I just to go to sleep at night, I just start meditating on it, starting from verse 1. Sometimes I never get past verse 1. Sometimes I make it all the way through and then go back through again. And if I wake up in the night, because I've started that process, sometimes I'll wake up in the night and the verse will come back to me, and it'll be verse 7 maybe. I'll just think about verse 7 and fade back into sleep. That's just for the last year, that's just been my main passage that I memorized. And because it's so ingrained, it's easy to meditate on it at different times during the day. Scripture meditation, Scripture memorization is really the prelude to Scripture meditation. Another thing I did, and you probably won't want to do this, but my wife thinks I'm crazy. Not because of this, because of everything, but this just adds to it. I recorded myself reading good parts of the New Testament, of the epistles. And so it's on my iPod. And I go to sleep most nights listening to myself quoting, reading the Bible. Wow. I mean, you can get other people to read the Bible to you, but I wanted to hear myself reading the Bible to myself. And so I went through a number of those earbuds. You know, they don't last too long when you're sleeping on them during the night. But I found a place in the States. I made sure I got my supply when I was back. I got $8 for those little earbuds, and that lasts a year. I mean, it's pretty beat up. It just got one, there's just one side left. The other's been cut off, and all the padding around it is gone, too. It's kind of metal sticking in my ear, but I start the night a lot, and sometimes it'll just play all night. And at different times I wake up, and it's Romans 5:1, and I'm just following along with it. Probably by verse 4, I'm already back to sleep. But it's just continually going, meditating on the word. I hear the word all the time. So, a thought. Just a thought. Just a crazy thought. Some more thoughts about this passage here. Notice the description is that this tree is planted. So first of all, we see the planted. Now, that means it didn't just grow at random. If it's been planted, then there was a planter. Someone put the tree exactly where they wanted. So when you think about your life, God has planted you where you are. He has a divine purpose for you. It's just not a random, oh, I happen to be here because of all these situations. No, I've been planted. But not just planted, the tree is planted firmly. That's an important adjective. You see, a firmly planted tree is one with what? An extensive root system. Extensive root system. So there's a hidden world underground. So how does that tree stand up? All the pressure of the winds and years, the bending and the blowing, there's a root system underneath. See, meditation on God's word, it produces an interior life. Wow. That you're a lot more on the inside than you are on the outside. Because this extensive root system has gone down so deep. And it's just nothing can rip that up. Come what will, no matter what pressures, at the end the tree will still be standing. We see this paralleled in Psalm 112. Let me read this to you. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commandments. Surely he will never be shaken. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes." Because that word has gone deep and we're planted firmly. Now, this firmly planted tree happens to be near streams of water. Notice that it's plural. It's not just by a stream of water, but streams, plural. So if one of them happens to dry up, there's another one right there. There's multiple sources, you see. Now, this is a metaphorical reference to the complex irrigation system used in the Middle East in this period of time. A system that it made parts of Egypt, although much of it is desert, and yet because of this complex irrigation system, it made it some of the most fertile and productive land in the world. So they would redirect rivers so that dozens of streams would flow in canals on the cultivated land. And it produced a constant and abundant flow of life-giving water. So it didn't matter if it didn't rain for a period of time. These canals kept things growing and kept it green. See, as you're meditating on God's Word, when you go through difficult seasons, when you go through dry seasons, there's a connection. You're rooted into something that doesn't dry up. And why others around you wondering, how can you be so strong, or how are you weathering this? You're just connected to a root system and to streams of water that are constantly feeding you. That's why Jeremiah chapter 17, referring to the same passage or the same concept, the person who meditates on God's Word does not fear when the heat comes, and he doesn't get anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. He just keeps bearing fruit. Because of this endless supply of water, the tree's always green and always yielding fruit. It's the last phrase of this passage that is quite startling. We have to think about. The psalmist says, whatever he does prospers. What's missing in that sentence? Whatever he does prospers. You know what's missing? There is no qualifier. There's no qualifiers. It's just whatever he does prospers. What a fascinating thought. The author doesn't say whatever he does prospers if it's God's will. He doesn't say whatever he does prospers if his motives are right. He simply says whatever he does will prosper. Now, how can we have such an unqualified statement like that? Well, it's simple. You see, when you're meditating on God's Word day and night, you'll naturally walk in God's will. God's Word is His will. And as you're meditating on it, you're doing the Word, you're walking in His Word, His will. What you're doing is His will. And so everything you do will prosper through constant meditation. Will naturally walk in God's ways. A few other thoughts about meditation. Meditation, number two, produces obedience. Interesting concept. A companion passage in Joshua chapter 1. The Lord actually speaking to Joshua says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Just a little side note, because we're going to get to this in a minute. If you want to know how to meditate, we see it right here. You meditate with your mouth. Now, certainly there's times when you're just thinking the word. That's true. But he said, don't let the word depart from your mouth. Meditate. So you're meditating as you're speaking. And we're going to get to that in a minute, but just thought we'd draw your attention while we were there. Okay, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So then you will be prosperous and successful. And I preached for years that meditation on God's Word produces success. And then one day I realized in looking at it, that's not what the text says. The text says meditation on God's Word produces obedience. You see the corollary? Meditate on it so that you may. So is a cause and effect word. If you meditate, you will obey. This is just a great life-changing principle. If there's an issue of obedience that you're struggling with, a challenge, a sin, a temptation in your life, the biblical response, the answer, is you get every Bible verse that covers that case, all of God's promises. And as you meditate on those words, meditate on God's promise to you, you will begin to find yourself walking in obedience. And old ways of acting and responding begin to fall away, because God's Word is making you careful to do. then it's the doing that produces success. You see, there's three things happening here. There's meditation, there's obedience, there's prosperity. Now, if we just say meditation produces prosperity, we miss that important, crucial step. It's about obedience. Meditation produces obedience, and obedience produces success. James communicated the same idea when he said in chapter 1, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Our third thing we're going to look at, faith grows by patience. Patience. Paul described Abraham's faith this way, Romans chapter 4. "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." Abraham grew strong in faith. He did not necessarily start out strong in faith. When you read the New Testament description of Abraham, or let me say this way, if all you were ever exposed to would be the New Testament description of Abraham, and then you went back and read the Old Testament narrative of his life, you would think there is something wrong here. Because this dude they're talking about in the New Testament does not look like that dude back there. You see, when you look at him back in his journey, he's not exactly God's man of faith and power all the time. There's a lot of unbelief, a lot of trying to work things out by his own power, just pure doubt. And yet, isn't it great that God defines him by the end, not the journey? So all the time when we see him in the New Testament, he is Abraham, the father of our faith. Walk in the steps of the faith of our father, Abraham. Not those ones back there with Sarah and that, but the end result of his faith. You see, because he grew strong in faith. And this is a great encouragement to me. I know I'm not where I should be, but I know I can get there. I'm growing, just like Abraham. There's patience involved. If I will daily plant those seeds of God's Word, if I'll cultivate by meditation, if I'll be careful to keep away the temptations of doubt and fight the good fight of faith, in time, those seeds will grow up and faith will have been born in my heart. But there's the pressure of the patience involved. My oldest son, going to be 30 soon, but when he was young, preschool, not in school yet, at the Sunday school, the church we were at that time, they were doing, I guess every Sunday school in the world does this at some point. They had brought in some topsoil and had some little styrofoam cups and a little seed, right? So we're going to do a practical assignment. We're talking about the seed, God's Word, planting it. So all the kids got their little cup. Everybody does that, right? In some way, some form. And so my son was pretty excited about his little seed and his little styrofoam cup with his name on it. And he planted it. And then the next Sunday, going to church, he's really excited. Wanted to go, me to come back with him to the Sunday school room to see what's happened. You know, is there growth in the seed? And so we went back. It's just been a week. But there's his cup there, and there's nothing. You know, no growth. which is not too bad, except one problem is his friend, a girl named Amy, her cup is right next to his. And she's got this little sprout growing up. Now see, it's one thing to deal with a lack of results. Okay, I can deal with that. It's another thing when that person's got the results. That adds the pressure, doesn't it? Like, why isn't it working for me? It's working for her. Why isn't it working for me? Well, I just explained it. Don't worry, son. It'll work. Seed will come up. So he was okay. So next week, we went to church. Still, there's nothing. And now Amy's is just going crazy. They got little things growing off of it. It's sprouting up. And it's right next to my son's. And so he looks at his and looks at hers. He starts crying. What's wrong with my seed? I'm telling you, it got to the point I didn't want to go to church. Man, I did not want to deal with this again. Oh, but I remember the glorious day when we walked in the Sunday school room and Sammy's had started to sprout. And you know, it didn't take long before it started to catch up with Amy's. And that was a great lesson for me, because oftentimes it's the pressure of the results that we see in other people's lives that challenge us and make it difficult. We know the principles. We know it'll work. And it would be okay if nobody else was getting results either. But when we start seeing those results, it puts the pressure on us. What's wrong? But the seed works. God's word performs its work in those who believe. As we're faithful to meditate, let God's work do its work. It may not be the pace of someone else or the pace we want, but just like Abraham, we'll respect the promise of God, not waver in unbelief, and keep growing day by day, stronger and stronger in faith. All right, let's take a few moments in our groups. Now, question number two. I don't like that one, or that's okay, but it's not as good. I want you to look at question three or four in your group, and you guys decide which one in your group. Do we want to look at three, or do we want to deal with four? Okay? So whichever one you choose, we only have time for one, but pick that one and go at it. So, all right. Can we wrap it up? Which groups chose question number three? Okay. Cricket has volunteered May to share. She's real good at volunteering others. Talk to us, May. It will. Yeah. I think we're okay.
Check. There.
Let's go.
We answered question number three. That sometimes it's a struggle for us to be able to constantly meditate on the Word of God. Because for us admin people, there's just like too many things to do. And by the time you end your day, it's just so late in the night. It's too little time to sleep and all of that. All of the excuses, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing that that Cricket was saying that would be good. Because this year, personally, I struggle with, mentally, I can't get the, okay, this thing happened during this time and this thing. I don't have Pastor Paul's brain. So anyway, I found this YouVersion, which really helps you to go through your plan. And so I think everyone's nodding. So I guess you all use that. So it really has helped me, because then it keeps me on time reading my Bible, meditating on the Word of God. And it's so cute. When you miss like 2 or 3 days, it gives you a reminder on your email. Admin task people are always on their emails to tell you, I think you have missed several days. So obviously I did. And the other thing is, I really don't read my Bible now from the YouVersion. I just know from my YouVersion what chapters I'm supposed to read. And then I go to my Glow Bible, which is fantastic. Because it gives you the virtual tour. I feel like I've been to Israel. I've been to Jerusalem, to the temple. It's fantastic. And everything has been made available to us for free. Bless those people for doing that. And you know, I've shared this with my leaders, and it really has helped them to do it.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. Who did question number 4? Carlos, what would you talk to us? What did you say to your group?
I could talk about something else.
Did you not do number 4?
Yeah, we did number 4. The whole idea of promises. Quick version so the tears don't catch up. When my daughter went through her procedure and we believed for her healing, we got her back. So she's 5 years old this year. But there's always that dealing with it. The other day she cried in school because she was slow. And it always breaks our heart.
Sure.
So
you're gonna make us cry.
Yeah. So Bella and I say that parang I am gonna cry, so stop. So we encourage one another every day and we say God is gonna heal. And we do believe that. And
yeah.
I think it's always an everyday thing. And I think I'm all the better for it.
Sure. Yeah.
So Hannah, God with us. She's Hannah Emanuele. So the grace of God literally with us every single day.
Yeah.
And I think God did it for a reason, the way we're going through it. And it's made us better. So we receive it that way.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference. And Belle and I talk to each other and we highlight all the good things. And that we believe bigger because of these things. So.
Great.
Okay, there. I did it without trying. Almost.
All right. Could you get back to your seats? We've got a few minutes before our break, and I want to see if we can get into... This is session 2, although I think your notes, it said chapter 2. I took this from my book. That's actually, we're in the process. It's going to, getting ready to go to the major editing. So it'll be, we hope to have it printed. We're doing 2 of them back to back this year and next. 10 days in the States is publishing it. So Faith to Live By, everything I've learned about faith in 35 years in book form. I'm excited about that. Have a book signing, yeah. As long as you buy it, I'll sign it. Kindle version, yeah, we'll do it. I'll sign your Kindle. All right, How Does Faith Grow? Part 2. In the last session, we began our examination, how faith grows. We concluded that faith grows through hearing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, and patience, or waiting on the Word of God. In this chapter, we'll continue to look how faith grows. So, faith grows by speaking the Word of God. There's a strong connection in Scripture between our faith and the words of our mouth. In Luke chapter 17, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, here's their prayer, increase our faith. Now that's a bad prayer. You know why it's a bad prayer? Because the prerequisite for having your prayer answered is faith. And so you're saying, I don't have faith to even ask this, get this answered. It's a bad prayer, and Jesus doesn't respond to the prayer. You know what he says? If you had faith, you would say. Wow. If you had faith, you would say. Oh, wow. You would say. In other words, the real answer to the question, the real question is, how do I get more faith? And Jesus answers the real question that they didn't know to ask. He says, let me tell you how you get more faith. Say. It comes through saying. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. The context of this verse, if we were to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and spend some time breaking it open, is all about adversity. Adversity. And it's significant because adversity always reveals what's in your heart. It's what comes out of your mouth in adversity. You realize that's really what you believe. It's what we find out. A beautiful picture of this in Acts chapter 27 when Paul's in this terrible shipwreck, or in the process prior to being shipwrecked, where for 2 weeks they don't even see the sun, the moon, or the stars. And these hardened sailors gave up all hope of being saved. Paul, in the midst of that situation, stands on the deck of the ship and boldly declares, I believe God that it will turn out to me exactly as I've been told. That's a spirit of faith in the midst of adversity. What was in his heart, he'd had a word from God, you will be saved and all of these men with you. And so he stood boldly and declared in the midst of adversity, this is what will happen. Although it looks like the complete opposite of what is going to happen. Faith speaks, and faith in adversity speaks. Now, number two, the process through which we're saved just shows us, displays this connection between faith and speaking. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with the heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Number three, God created with words. The first time we see God, he's speaking. And that's significant. 11 times in the first chapter, we have this phrase, God said, God said. And every time the phrase is used, what happens? Something new is created. You see, that's a literary device showing us the connection between speaking and creating. Speaking and creating. We see this throughout Scripture, Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Now, this would be, we're going to go into a lengthy section here with the fig tree. So let's take our break now.